He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Only on the program.
Yes, we talked some football with Eric Eager, a guy who was very fired up this past weekend during the Super Wild Card round. He joins us here in the program, brought to you by our friends at All Weather Decks. A little bit warmer today, going to be frigid cold tomorrow. In fact, a couple of days, I think, what is it, Thursday maybe, is going to be the day that's probably so cold that All Weather Decks crews won't be out. But if there's a day that's workable, All Weather Decks crews will be working. Let them go to work on your project right now, so when the beautiful weather returns, you've got a new deck, patio, screened-in porch, whatever it is your dream is, whether it's a fire pit, outside fireplace, you name it, All Weather Decks builds it. Find them online at allweatherdecks.net or call today at 913-206-1974. Let Cass and his team go to work for you the way they went to work for me. 22-time winner of the Angie's List Super Service Award. You can check the map link on the website, allweatherdecks.net. See where they've done jobs all over the metro and even beyond. Don't wait. Call right now. Call 913-206-1974. Don't miss a single good day of weather this spring and summer. All Weather Decks is only about 6 or 7 weeks away from starting your project right now. So give them a call at 913-206-1974. Find them online at allweatherdecks.net and relax. Eric, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Despite not getting the bye, the Chiefs are right back where we want them. Second round of the playoffs. Although this Buffalo team, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I think the fact that this Buffalo team seems to be of such concern, and they should be after the brilliant performance they put together on a tough, cold night with wind and everything, to see them go out and have that performance against the Bill Belichick defense is certainly a feather in their cap. But the more I hear about Buffalo, the more I like Kansas City. The more it seems to be the storyline is Buffalo, the more I think Kansas City ends up winning it. I understand that they played great, but Buffalo also, you know, lost to Jacksonville. Like, I why do we lose sight of that? You talked about that on the and Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, by the way, does a great podcast with his buddy George Sharuri called the PFF Forecast, and you talked about that one day that, like, when a good team plays well, that's it. We just heap it on them. That's who they are. That's what they're going to do here moving forward. And that's not reality, right? They've got to go out and reconstruct a game plan and play well. Like, is everybody getting a little too hyped about the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I think so. But that's the point. I think, like, the issue is very much it's very much one of, you know, Buffalo trying to, you know, be this self-fulfilling prophecy. They came into the season a great football team. For the most part, they played that way early on. In fact, they even came into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs by multiple scores. We sort of forget, you know, sort of the sort of lucky nature of that game in many ways. The Frank Clark penalty really kept the Chiefs, you know, from arm's length away in the second half of that game. Plus, the Chiefs were not playing well at the time. And then you have a team like, you know, then they blow out, the New England Patriots, and that's the team that we thought that this team was capable of all year. And so we immediately rushed to that. We're seeing that a little bit with the Los Angeles Rams too, in the narrative this week as well. But we forget that the Bills were up 13-10 against the Jets, like, late into the second half, week 18, in a game that, you know, they needed to win the division and needed proceeding. You know, this is a team that, you know, lost to the Jaguars. They lost to an Indianapolis Colts team that ultimately didn't even make the playoffs. Like, this is up and down. And I kind of put it one way when I was on a show yesterday. I said, look, I think if both teams play their best football, I think the Bills probably win. I think if both teams play their worst football, I think the Chiefs win. I think if both teams play their average football, I think the Chiefs win.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Do we believe that do we have to give some credit to Brian Daboll and getting Devin Singletary involved as being a big piece? Like, I do think the Chiefs are playing better ball now, and they're a better team than they were when they played before, but I think the Bills are better. And I think one of the ways is, while I'm not asking them to run the ball all the time, but I do think that there is some value in at least giving a quarterback a mental break. They were asking so much of Josh Allen. Every passing play, it's all on him. Every time they ran, it was all on him. Just to be able to hand the ball off, take a little bit of a break. And by the way, Devin Singletary can run a little bit, and he's pretty good catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, to me, has given them a more complete offense, right? I know we're all on the team throw it's more important and valuable than run it, but there is a value in running it, and they have found that value.
I think so. I mean, 4.6 yards per carry is a pretty good average. I think, like, you know, they were doing a lot of the RPO stuff, which, you know, the listeners, run pass option, we talked about that with the Chiefs, where it's a run play called in the huddle, and, you know, Josh Allen will pull it out of the stomach of the running back and throw it or run with it. And, you know, Josh Allen this year, I think people would be surprised to know he had 763 yards rushing during the regular season, 6.3 yards per carry, which led the NFL. You know, so he was taking on a lot of the ground game. And, yeah, I mean, I think people would also be surprised at the fact that, you know, his, you know, completion percentage went down 6 percentage points this year. His yards per attempt went down a full yard. And his passer rating went down 15 passer rating points, not to mention a PFF passing grade that went down 10 points. So, Allen, you had seen just a little bit of regression there, and it sort of permeates through, right? When a team can't throw quite as well as they're normally used to, they can't run as well, and vice versa usually, sometimes is the case. There's actually sort of a weak correlation there. Now, I think that they're giving, you know, Singletary not only the running game, but, you know, also the passing game. They've been somewhat effective. Now, it's going to remain the same thing for the Chiefs that I think it's remained for their defense all season with respect to stopping the Bills. Can they tackle? I thought they tackled extremely well against Pittsburgh. There was a few plays where maybe Najee Harris got a couple yards, but he's a first-round draft pick running back. And, you know, in the Denver game and the Cincinnati game, the tackling was terrible. Early in the season, the tackling was terrible. And, you know, when they came back and had great defensive performances in the middle of the season, they tackled. And when you look at the way Buffalo Bills, you know, sort of select for their running game, Devin Singletary led the college football in missed tackles forced when he was coming out. So did Zach Moss. They certainly have a type at running back.
Yeah, they do. Zach Moss hasn't been healthy much, and he hasn't lived up to it. Neither one of them, frankly, have lived up to what they were supposed to be. But let's go back to the tackling part of the equation, and I'll come back to the quarterbacks later. You know, I agree that they didn't tackle well against the Bengals and they didn't tackle that great against the Broncos. But part of the problem is because, you know, what we see as poor tackling are safeties diving at guys, right? Like, their tackling looks poor when the defensive line is getting pushed around. Like, I would come back and say, well, where was somebody getting into the backfield, right? Like, there are times that, you know, maybe that happens. And Nick Bolton had a rough day against the Bengals. You know, that was his worst day that I've seen him have. You know, guys can, you know, have bad days as well. I do get that beyond just the defensive line. But to me, they tackle well when the defensive line is having success, right? Now the question is, will they have success against Buffalo?
Yeah, and I think that that's really the key. As you said, tackling is sort of, you know, this idea of being out of position. And, you know, I think one thing that Buffalo doesn't do, which, you know, I think is actually sort of a fairly good, omen for Kansas City in general, is they don't really do a lot of misdirection. They don't really do a lot of, you know, they basically trust their quarterback to make plays in sort of a backyard style. They're sort of like the Chiefs, but not as creative, I think. And, you know, I think that that will help Kansas City as long as, you know, they can cover the guys downfield, which, again, the last meeting was very uncharacteristic of the Chiefs because they gave up big plays, right? They gave up the big plays to Dawson Knox, the big plays to Stephon Diggs. And, you know, when they were going well, and the Bengals game I think is an aberration, but when they were going well, they were not giving up the big plays, and they were keeping things in front of them, and they had better athletes on the field. I think when they play Buffalo, I mean, you think about this, you know, Brett Veach spent a second-round pick on Juan Thornhill, Nick Bolton, and Willie Gay in the last 3 years, and those guys were not, and Gay was injured, but those guys were not featured prominently in the first matchup with Buffalo. Now those athletes are on the field, and you know, I think that means that there's going to be better positioning and players in better position to make plays.
You said that Josh Allen, you gave all his numbers that are down. Patrick Mahomes' numbers are all down the same way, right? Like, I mean, this both of them's numbers aren't what they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, you're allowed to comment about one quarterback without commenting on the other. That's true.
Well, I get that, and I'm not trying to pick nits with your comments about Allen. I'm just trying to introduce that if we're to go by just what the season numbers are. Right, because I think Buffalo fans would be like, "Well, did you see him play against the Pats? What didn't you like there?" Just as if you point out that Mahomes' numbers were off significantly in QBR and a lot of other things, and Chiefs fans, having watched every Chiefs game, would rush in and say seven balls that should have been caught ended up as interceptions, and you know they would rush in with all the minute details that help tell the entire story. It's not all that Mahomes just forgot how to play quarterback in the first half of the year. He had a lot of help around him. I get that, but there's some of that in Buffalo as well. My point just is, if the idea, like, look, I'm picking the Chiefs, and I'm picking the Chiefs to win, and I think it's going to be more like what we saw in last year's games against the Bills. I think they're going to win, and they're going to win by double digits. I don't think it's going to be a field goal game, and I think it's because Patrick Mahomes is going to play at a super high level, and Josh Allen's going to play pretty good, and then when Josh Allen presses, it goes to hell in a handbasket. Like, there's a big difference between Josh Allen playing from in front and Josh Allen trying to come back. So ideally, you know, the Chiefs would play from in front. But I do think it's worth noting, if we're going to, you know, for anyone who's like, oh, okay, that's it, the Chiefs are fine because Josh Allen's not as good as he was last year. Well, by those same metrics, Patrick Mahomes isn't as good this year either.
But don't you think, I mean, I'm trying to steady this entire conversation, because I think when you look at the betting markets, the Kansas City last year was favored by 3 in the AFC title game, and Mahomes had a really good year. And yeah, I get that he was coming off a toe injury. I think people actually underrated the toe injury in the betting markets because they're worried about the concussion, right? But they were favored by 3, and you know, and they were, you know, and it was a, you know, it was you know, fairly solid 3. This one's 2.5, more like 2, which is basically implying that the Bills are about the same team on a neutral field as the Chiefs. And last year at the time, you know, people were, you know, starting to grow into the Josh Allen thing. You know, there were even, you know, the famous, you know, tail of the tape where the Buffalo Bills had the advantage of the quarterback position, yada, yada, yada. And I think this year, I think most Chiefs fans, despite how well Mahomes played, you know, on Sunday, I think most Chiefs fans are saying, yeah, this is probably, I mean this only because of the brilliance of the first 3 years, but I think most Chiefs fans think that this is the most uneven Patrick Mahomes year, right? I think that's a fair statement. And you know, even in games where they've won, he's had games where he wasn't as great. And obviously he's had brilliant games like the one against the Chargers and, you know, the last 3 quarters against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think everybody is already baking in the fact that Mahomes is, quote, regressed. And I wanted to point to the fact that Josh Allen has also, you know, he had an amazing season in 2020. It hasn't quite been as amazing this year, and he's capable of what we saw Saturday. But the same exact thing is true about Mahomes. I think all of us – so I think that the trajectories are the same for both players, except for Mahomes' water level is just slightly higher than Josh Allen's, if not, you know, quite a bit higher, depending upon how you look at it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, and I get your point. And I think even in this town there's, you know, 404 yards, 5 touchdowns, and you know, 1 interception that, you know, was partially not his fault. I'm going to take some of the blame off and just kind of some bad luck there. He has a brilliant performance. He throws 5 touchdown passes over the course of, what was it, 10.5 minutes of real game time, including the time that the Steelers had the ball in between those throws. I mean, just a remarkable performance. In the first couple of calls I take, I get, you know, the Chiefs cornerback shouldn't be so handsy. And what was the other one? Was,
well, there was the woman that called in yesterday that said that the penalties were all stupid. I mean, look, you're gonna get that, Petro, right? This team's a Super Bowl team, you know. Like, I think, you know, what do they call it in Green Bay? They called it Entitled Town.
Yeah,
you know, I think you're gonna get you know, with this team being so good and, you know, four straight years of 12 wins or more and the four straight 5 years of six in the divisional round and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get that. And so I guess, like, my point about Josh Allen, for example, is, like, yes, this Bills team is an up-and-coming team. And I think, you know, if you look at Bills Chiefs might be in the AFC what Niners, you know, Cowboys were in the 90s, right, for the first half of the 90s or so. And but it's okay to come back and say, actually, look, like, Mahomes is still – like, Mahomes has had up and downs, and I think you're going to have those up and downs. But Josh Allen has too, and you still have the better quarterback. I think that that's an okay thing to say without it sounding like, oh, Josh Allen's the only one that's had problems.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I gave these numbers yesterday, or maybe it was at the end of last week. I can't remember when we gave them about what – it was end of last week. You know, Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger, the other, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterbacks in this playoffs, and where they were regular season – you know, after their fifth year, where they were postseason after their fifth year in comparison to where Patrick Mahomes is. And I think it's interesting to at least sit and listen to it so you understand the context of what he's accomplishing. I mean, Rodgers, 400 yards, four touchdowns, one interception. He was 0-1. Mahomes, 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, five interceptions. He's 7-2. Brady had less than 2,000 yards. Again, Mahomes, 2,700. He had 11 touchdowns and three INTs. Again, Mahomes, 22-5. Brady was 9-0. Mahomes is 7-2. You can't knock the 9-0. But statistically speaking, what the Chiefs have accomplished is more because of Mahomes than what the Patriots had accomplished was because of Tom Brady. And Ben Roethlisberger, who got in his first year and made noise in the playoffs, won the Super Bowl in his second year. His totals, 2,200 yards versus, again, Mahomes, 2,700. 15 touchdowns, 12 INTs. Again, Mahomes, 22-5. His overall record, 8-2. Mahomes is 7-2. And, again, still playing, right? So he's going to add at least one more game. And if he beats Buffalo, he's going to add two more. And if he goes to the Super Bowl, he's going to add three more. Like, I know each game, like, he can't throw for 900 yards. But the fact that he is driving his team into the postseason, winning constantly in the postseason and performing in the postseason is something that no one else has ever done at this level.
Well, and we had our red, gold, and bold. I got the name right. You know,
nice work.
Halftime show during the middle of the game, and it was fun because, you know, I think about when he ran for the touchdown against the Titans in the championship game in 19. And you're like, you have that moment, you're like, oh my gosh, our favorite team has this player, you know?
Yeah.
And I had these bets that had no chance of winning, you know, first half bets on the Chiefs. So I think it was like -7.5 and over 14.5 points. And it was just like, oh, well, they're playing terribly. And then, of course, he throws a 48-yard touchdown on third down and 20 at the end of the half with almost no time left. And it was a reminder, right? It was a reminder that the Chiefs still have Patrick Mahomes, right? And, like, I think, you know, and this is part of, and again, I talk about, you know, the entitled town. I talk about, you know, I don't interact with that many Patriots fans, but sort of like I imagine what it's like there, you know, where it's like you just get so used to this level of competence that, you know, it's fun to back off and do what you just did, which is list off how brilliant he's been and how, you know, remarkable he's been, not only at putting up statistics, which a lot of guys can do, but also winning football games. And I think, I think it's right to be nervous about this game if you're a Chiefs fan, but I also think it's important to know that, again, like I said, if you play your average game and they play their average game, I think you win.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's take a break. We'll talk more with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Want to get his thoughts on the Cowboy debacle. We'll get into some of the other games going on in the postseason. Eric Eager brought to you by our friends at All Weather Decks. Find them online and get your appointment scheduled right now at allweatherdecks.net.
The program with Soren Petro.
Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You deserve the booze they give you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Applause Custom Sight and Sound has been in business for almost 20 years. You heard me right, almost 20 years. In their industry, most companies don't even last two. I'm talking about smart home technology. I'm talking about in-home theaters. I'm talking about cutting-edge technology made easy to use right at your fingertips. All from an easy-to-use app on your smartphone Or maybe it's a touchscreen. You name it. Basically, you can enhance your lifestyle with simple, sophisticated control of music, video, lights, climate, and more. So if what you want is your ultimate football theater, that's what I wanted. Applause Custom Sight and Sound will build that for you. If what you want is the ultimate home to entertain family and friends, the ability to have the party going and upstairs, downstairs, and have the music playing upstairs and downstairs, all synced up, the television synced up if you want the games on in the background, not somebody seeing one play and 7 seconds later somebody on the other side of the room seeing the play again, ruining the experience for everybody. I'm talking about perfectly synchronized, cutting-edge technology installed right the first time. And when you install it right the first time, you save big money. Look, I'm going to tell you up front, if you're going in the first time and starting your system, it's probably going to be a little bit more expensive with Applause Custom Sight and Sound. They're usually not the cheapest bid because their bid is the bid to build it right the first time. A lot of companies come in and try to compete with Applause and give you a lower price, a price that they, in the end, can't live up to, or there's no way they can build the same kind of quality at that price. There's a reason why, unfortunately, more than half the jobs that Applause Custom Sight and Sound does are going in and fixing jobs that other people, well, frankly, screwed up. Go with the best first. It'll save you money because when you build it right and technology evolves or you want to add on, it's simple. It's easy. It's cost effective. I know when the Rokus and the Apple TVs came around, I thought, oh, man, do we have to start from scratch? They're like, no, we got a spot on the rack. You want to buy them and we'll put them in, or do you want us to just bring over some Rokus and Apple TVs? Whatever you need, we got you covered. And that's how Applause Custom Sight and Sound does business. The best customer service, the best technology built and installed right the first time. Rocket fast Wi-Fi, music inside and outside your house, video inside and outside your house. Applause does it all. Call 913-498-1183. That's 913-498-1183. Find them on the web at applausetheater.com.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. David Long of the Rams now has the shortest pick six in postseason history. Whose record did he break? Long's was 3 yards last night.
Shortest pick six in playoff history?
Mm-hmm.
It was Jack Squirek in the Super Bowl. That wasn't much, was it? About 8-9 yards?
That's the guy. 5 yards.
Stick that. What do you think, Yeager?
Not bad.
You're impressed with my...
I thought I potted him up, but I missed the button. The button didn't work. There he is.
I would have never guessed that one. You got me there, Petro. Good for you.
Are you being facetious or?
I have to say, like, my football knowledge, like, I think, so I was born in 1986. It goes back to about there. Like, I know some of the players before, but, like, if you want to get, like, hey, he's going to win, like, one of these trivia contests, it's 86 or after.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's, I mean, that speaks to, you know, your age. That's age appropriate. If you can go back to when you were born, then you're doing some research there because you obviously weren't, you know, crapping your diaper and watching, you know, breaking down a game. Although you, Eric, who knows? The big brain, the doctor. Eric Eager.
Well, I'm just really happy that the Chiefs aren't crapping their diaper anymore in playoff time, right? Like that. Yeah. That's the
Chiefs have never had a pick six, but they've given up one.
I love it. Yeah, Jack Squirek picked off. Do you even know who he played for?
I don't. I do know, if you want me to go back a little bit further into there, I do know Chuck Howley, a linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, the only the only player to ever win MVP of the Super Bowl without winning the game.
Yep, that's very good. And also, he was a Dallas Cowboys linebacker, yes. Jack Squirek was a linebacker for the Raiders. He picked off Joe Theismann right before the half in the 83 season, so January of 84, right, Curtis?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the great assistant coach maneuvers in the history of pro football.
That was the AFC's last Super Bowl win until, like, Elway in 97, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah, AFC was quite a house for a while, and then it was the NFC.
What was the move? Like, they went back, they saw the play on tape. They played earlier in the year.
That's it. The Raiders and Washington team had played earlier in the year, and late in the game, or late in the first half, Washington pinned deep. Theismann threw a little screen pass to Joe Washington, and they gained about 65
yards. More
like
a swing pass.
Yeah, a little swing pass. Gained about 65 yards. So Raider assistant coach Charlie Sumner, the Washington in the exact same spot late in the first half, put in Jack Squirek, pass defense specialist, and said, stick to Joe Washington, go wherever he goes. And Theismann dropped back, looked to his right, kind of swung one out to Washington, and Squirek was ready for it. I remember the Washington, it was Sonny Jurgensen's like, screen pass, and they looked like they knew it was coming. Because they did.
Yeah.
Charlie
yeah.
Sumner.
Interesting. Good stuff. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue is great stuff. You can send it anywhere in the country. Joe'sKC.com. Get your game day spread for all the Saturday games. They'll even wrap it up and have it ready for you, where all you got to do is warm it for Sunday. That's what we do when we grab our Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get it right now. Joe'sKC.com to send it anywhere in the country. Or 47th and Mission, 119th and Strangline, and 117th and Row to get that great Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Eric, what do you make of I understand Mike McCarthy deserves fire, and I heard you guys on the forecast blowing him up pretty good. Heard on the on your live show during the game, you just absolutely lost your mind during it. A friend told me I was not watching that. I probably should bring that up on one of the TVs during the game, the PFF YouTube channel, by the way, for folks that are looking for it. I get it that there were mistakes. They weren't well coached at how to get the ball to the ref and get it spotted as quickly as possible. There wasn't enough time to run that play. But the idea that all of it is coming down on the shoulders of Mike McCarthy, and no one's, you know, Kellen Moore's still a coaching candidate, and nobody's talking about the fact that Kellen Moore called the draw, right? And Dan Quinn is apparently the hottest coaching candidate out there, and nobody's discussing the fact that he was absolutely pantsed in the first quarter and first half. Like, why doesn't that count for something? Why is that whole game come down to just one play that many people had a hand in, yet it's Mike McCarthy that is the complete boob? And by the way, who the hell thinks Mike McCarthy has been able to handpick everyone he wants around him and his personnel department? I mean, that is a difficult job, because when you're the Cowboys coach, You got to take a lot of what Jerry Jones wants you to have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's so part of it was, you know, we had received a report that, you know, he was on the hot seat. And that was kind of the thing. It's like, okay, if he's actually on the hot seat, which there were thoughts that, you know, there could have been an elevation of Kellen Moore, all that kind of stuff. Right. Like, so my thought was, you know, it wasn't even so much the end of game, because I actually think the last play of the game is Kellen Moore's fault more than anything, and Dak Prescott.
Right.
I'll come back to this, and I think, Petro, you've been pretty right about this. You know, Prescott has kind of, you know, revealed himself a little bit last week as kind of a Kirk Cousins plus, right, where he's making a lot of money, he's surrounded by a lot of good players, and there's always a little bit of something missing. The last play is more of just an organizational failure. And I think also one of the reasons why, you know, the shine sort of is wearing off on Kellen Moore. Like, I think Kellen Moore, without the game on Sunday, is probably getting more head coaching consideration. I think a lot of people looked at that game and thought to themselves, you know, he kind of got out coached again. And you take a better look at that offense over the course of the second half of the season. You had the big win against Washington, a depleted Washington team on Sunday Night Football. You had a big win against a Philly team who, you know, we come to find out sucks and also is, like, you know, resting everybody. But other than that, Dallas, I mean, Dallas lost at home to that Arizona team that we just saw last night, just a couple weeks ago as well. So I think the shine is worn off. Now, to me, the McCarthy thing is more of, what are you doing with the fake punt and then the hurry-up offense with your fake punt team? And what are you doing with the timeouts at end of halves? Why are you taking timeouts with you to the end of the half? That kind of stuff. I think at the end there of the game, it's more of a how does no one on this team understand what's going to happen? Understand what's happening here? And I agree. I think, you know, Dan Quinn's getting overrated for a defense that mostly lived off sacks and interceptions. Kellen Moore, I think, has had a decent run as an offensive coordinator. Not great, not elite. And McCarthy's getting a lot of blame for all the stuff that's left over. And I think it's some of the biases. I think a lot of people want Dak Prescott to be maybe better than he actually is. And so the blame game gets put on, you know, people for when that team doesn't have success.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I think that's very well put. And I think, you know, and I got no problem with firing a guy even when you're winning. If you're like, this guy can't take us the rest of the way, like, Cliff Kingsbury should be fired. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that, you know, I listened to you guys talk about him earlier in the year, and you're like, you know, before the season really got going and some of the offseason stuff, and you're like, Kingsbury's a boob. And I'm like, I got to bring that up with Eager when they were 7-0. And then Curtis ran through the numbers. I don't know, did you hear any of the first hour on the numbers Curtis threw around? We got him, like, I think the Action Network was the one that had him, but Curtis took him even further. In his first seven games, going back to 2013 when he got to Texas Tech and threw the Cardinals, he's 42-20-1. In the rest of the season, he's 17-45. He goes from 675 to 274. By contrast, Andy Reid's been in Kansas City all that time. Andy Reid's 43-20. He's only a half game better than Cliff Kingsbury the first seven games. Granted, Kingsbury's got some non-con games against Texas Tech that I'm sure were rummies that are built in there. But just to make the point, right? But in,
yeah,
in the stretch run, Andy Reid's 68-28. He goes to 708. Again, 274 the rest of the year for Kingsbury, 708 for Andy Reid. It's clear that Kingsbury can spend all offseason, can cook some things up, but he's got no ability to adapt at what's going on during the season. He runs out of new tricks, for lack of a better term. And, like, I don't see that changing. His whole career has been that. So the Arizona Cardinals, it would be unconventional. It would be controversial. But firing Cliff Kingsbury, to me, is just getting ahead of the inevitable. I think it'll be next year or the year after that he will be fired.
Well, and you know what happens as season progresses, right? I mean, players get hurt. And,
yeah,
you know, you look at Bill Belichick and, you know, all the years that they started the season 2-2 and they were just figuring themselves out in September. And, you know, they come on strong as the season finishes. You talk about Andy Reid, who, you know, has been great there. I mean, there's a skill set to doing what Cliff Kingsbury did, which is take a team in 2018 that had one of the worst, like, had the worst offense in the NFL and one of the worst offenses in NFL history, right? And get that team to a middle of the pack offense, get that team in. They were a top five offense both years in the first half of the season in 20 and 21. Kyler Murray gets hurt both years. DeAndre Hopkins has been out for the second half of the season. And, you know, he did make improvements. I think they were not pumping the ball to Hopkins as much, early in the season. But he still had the gravity in the offense, and they couldn't adjust when he was out, right? And they couldn't, you know, have a left hand, you know, when they needed to. And, look, I don't think it's also – I also don't think it's offensive to say, look, there are some coaches whose job is to get a team to respectability, but they're unable to move the needle further. Like, I always think of Tony Dungy, who – he was a Hall of Fame coach, and, you know, eventually he won a Super Bowl. But that Tampa Bay team, he just needed to get Tampa Bay to break their streak of losing 10 games every single year for two decades, right? And he got them to respectability, but he could never get that team. And part of it was they never had a good enough quarterback. But he, you know, they needed John Gruden to win that Super Bowl for them in 2002. And maybe Kingsbury's going to have a successful NFL coaching career, maybe not. But I do think you're right. I do think that it's clear that he can't get them over this hump. And he has to, because that division, the NFC West, I mean, the Niners are going to be there for a while. The Rams are going to be there for a while. And the Seattle Seahawks, I think, after a down year this year, are going to be there for a while. So, to me, I think that's the only option they have.
Yeah, I'm like, where are the draws? Like, you've got this pass rush. He did nothing to neutralize the Rams' pass rush. I mean, it was like the second half, they ran the ball as it seemed like as much as they threw it. And it's like he was like, well, we're not going to win. Let's just make sure the score's not too bad. Right? Like, that's what it felt like his game planning was. Their touchdown drive took over 6 minutes. And Andy Reid said, look, the first job is to score. Right, everybody, like, when everyone would be critical of how long it takes, he's like, it doesn't matter how quick, you have the ball. If you don't score, you lose. And I get that. And I think people trivialize that part too much. But, I mean, they were in the huddle, and, like, there was no effort to win. It was like a waving of the white flag about halfway through the second quarter. And I think players know that. If I'm sitting there thinking that, players are on that sideline thinking that, like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, are we trying to win this game or not? So, I don't know. I think it's silly. All right, we'll get back into the Chiefs when we come back. Eric Eager, the data scientist from Pro Football Focus, their vice president of research and development, is with us here in the program. We break down the Chiefs more next.
The Program with Soren Petro.
My God, there's only one of these a day.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebold, Jed Marshall with you. Gary Parrish coming up next hour. And then we hand off to a little KU pregame. Jayhawks back in action there at OU, laying 3 points. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus is with us, brought to you by our friends at All Weather Decks. Find them online at allweatherdecks.net. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They are the best in the business working the entire metro area. Check out Cass and his team's great work. Great photos of finished projects are a great way to get you some ideas. They're only 6 or 7 weeks away from starting your project. If you go right now, you can even get an appointment scheduled right there online at allweatherdecks.net. Eric, tell me, first of all, what's the key to winning for the Kansas City Chiefs? I do think that they want to play from in front. I don't think they have to play from in front. But do you have anything that you think, okay, this is what's got to happen for them to win?
I think they got to tackle. On defense, I think they have to lean on their athletes, and they have to make tackles, and they have to, just do the expected thing on defense. They're not going to shut out the Bills. They're not going to give up, 10 points. But if they just do the expected thing on defense, I think the Bills' defense is overrated. They have great numbers. You look at them, the touchdown interception ratio, the yards per attempt, all of that they've given up have been masterful. But when you look at who the Buffalo Bills have played as far as opposing teams, you're looking at 2 games against the Jets, 3 games against a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones, 2 games against the Dolphins, a Steelers team that had Big Ben, a Steelers team that they lost to, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, a Falcons team that they were losing to at halftime, a Saints team that was playing, I believe it was Trevor Siemian or maybe it was Taysom Hill at the time. Yeah. And a Jacksonville Jaguar team that had a rookie quarterback who they lost to. There is not – I mean, Patrick Mahomes is by far and away the best quarterback they've faced this year, and obviously they did win that game. But I think the defense, 12 touchdowns, 19 interceptions allowed, 5.7 yards per attempt, during the regular season. I think that's not going to be what you see Sunday. No Tre'Davious White for that team. They haven't had him in a while. A linebacker level that, especially if the Chiefs use Jerick McKinnon the way that they used him against Steelers, I think is exploitable. So I think that's it. Just do the expected thing on defense and be the offense we all know that they can be.
What does Tre'Davious White being out, mean to this game?
Well, they run a very effective zone defense. Both their safeties are great, Poyer and Hyde. But for basically the whole Tre'Davious White era, it's been White on one side and a collection of misfit toys on the other. Kayvon Wallace, Wallace is the one now. Levi Wallace, and prior it was like Josh Norman, and then prior to that it was Vontae Davis quitting at halftime in a game. And the problem is when you take White out of that equation, then you have two corners who, are kind of very similar to the Chiefs in the way that like they don't put a lot of resource in that second corner spot. But now that they have two guys there, I think the Chiefs can exploit that.
Yeah, I do too. I hadn't dug into a lot of their games, their wins, and why the numbers are the way they are. Are you confident, though, that the Chiefs' defense will play at a high level? It's been hot and cold until over the last 5 games, they've played the Steelers twice and looked really good. The other 3 games, not so much. Like, how much confidence do you have that they're going to play at a high level?
Yeah, the Dallas game now looks different, right, because Dallas's offense petered down the stretch. It's going to be a challenge. And like I said, I don't think they can't go into this game believing they have to give up 17. They have to go into this game and say, look, play the game the way it's dictated. Catch the ball when it's thrown to you. Josh Allen is going to give you opportunities. He had 15 interceptions with something like third in the NFL this year. Everybody talks about pass interceptions. But Josh put the ball in harm's way a lot too. And tackle the quarterback when you get a sack. He's one of the quarterbacks that hangs onto the ball in the back end of the pocket. We didn't see a lot on a Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, or Frank Clark against the Steelers because the Steelers get rid of the ball quickly. The Bills do not, and the Bills have, I would say, at best, an average offensive line. So they're going to have to get, you know, not only get pressure on Allen, but also take him down when they get the opportunity. To me, it's just, you know, do the expected thing. When you get pressure, get sacks. When they throw the ball to you, catch it. When you have a tackling opportunity, make a tackle. To me, the defense in this game is to be an accessory, and if they are a good accessory, I think that they win this game.
Does Josh Allen have a big come-from-behind win on his resume yet?
Well, this season he has zero game-winning drives and zero fourth-quarter comebacks. He did have that game against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay where they were losing, I believe it was 17-0. He took that game into overtime, but they lost that game. You know, he is not – I mean, I think he's much better of a play from ahead quarterback because of his running ability as well. I think that's the backbreaking thing about Allen is his running ability can really hurt you, right? It's the – you have a play perfectly covered and, you know, you get good pressure and he's such a big, fast, strong thing that he can, you know, sort of move around. But playing from behind is a different story for him. And we saw in the AFC title game last year he was not efficient. He was not impressive in that game. And that's because the Chiefs jumped all over them after going down 9-0 right away.
So who you got winning and what kind of bets are you going to be making?
I did lay some Chiefs minus two. I think that's going to be where I am. Total 55. I think I'm going to bet another Chiefs under, which has not worked over the past 2 weeks. But I do think this game is going to play a little bit more high. Like I think both teams are going to play – you know, sort of that cover two shell and sort of make the other team beat them play for play for play. And I think that's going to lead to less scoring than people believe. And I think that's going to be because the Chiefs have the better quarterback at doing that thing, I think the Chiefs will win. And I think the game will go a little bit under what people believe.
All right, Eric, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it. I will speak with you tonight at 9 for the Red Golden Bowl podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sir. You're the best.
All right, brother. Eric Eager, the absolute best when it comes to the analytics of the game of football. Played it in college, doctorate in mathematics, now applying it all for Pro Football Focus. He is a really big deal in the football analytics world. Trust me on that one. We will take a break now, shift gears. We've got Kansas basketball coming up tonight at 6. Pregame starts at 4:30. We'll get you ready for pregame with Gary Parrish, the best in the business when it comes to breaking down college basketball. He is coming up next, a little college hoop talk with Gary Parrish next here in the program.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, besides Baylor, how many schools have lost consecutive games at home as the AP number one team? Brought to you by Good Sense.